Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Well, hello and welcome to Engage for Success Radio with me, Jo Moffat. Today is show number 534, and we're going to be exploring a topic that is very much of the moment, very much of our times, which is how best do we engage employees with sustainability and sustainability strategies. But before we get into that, and before I introduce today's guest, let me just tell you a little bit about Engage for Success. Engage for Success is a not-for-profit movement, and we are the UK's leading voice on the topic of employee engagement. We're raising awareness and running events through our area networks around the country, as well as our topic and sector-specific thought and action groups, developing research, publishing case studies, and shining a light on great practice. So do visit us at engageforsuccess.org, where you can learn more and sign up for our weekly newsletter. And I'm Jo Moffat. I'm one of the regular hosts of Engage for Success Radio. But as with everyone who's involved with Engage for Success, I'm a volunteer. We all give our time and energy to the movement to help to deliver on its mission to inspire people and workplaces to thrive. So my day job is MD and founder of Woodread, which is a specialist agency where we help our clients create great places to work, high-performing cultures of engaged employees. So all things employee experience, employee engagement, and of course, internal communication too. So a really important topic for today's show, and to help us to navigate that, I'm very, very pleased to welcome to Engage for Success Radio today's special guest, Jo Hands. Jo is co-founder of Geeky, and we'll hear a little bit more about what Geeky is and a little bit more about Jo in a moment. So welcome to the show, Jo. Good to have you with us.
Oh, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
Good. Well, it's great to have you. And I'd like to begin, if I may, by just asking you to just tell us a little bit. I know you're co-founder of Geeky, but you have a broader professional background before you got to that, didn't you? So tell us a little bit about yourself, what brought you to where you are now, and a little bit about what Geeky is all about.
Sure. Well, I've worked in sustainability now for nearly 20 years, but as I've been working for much longer than 20 years, before that I actually started life as a journalist, working first in press, so worked at The Independent, and then moved into television, so worked at the BBC, at Panorama and the Money Programme and various other programmes. And it was actually in that profession that I first came across climate change. So we were making a documentary series actually for Channel 4 probably 25 years ago or so, focused on flooding. And part of the program really was highlighting how flooding was increasing, and you know how extreme weather was becoming more of a problem. And it was then, and then through various other TV programs that I made over the years, I really became aware of wherever you went in the world, people were talking about the fact that the weather and the climate was changing. People who weren't expert in this, just, you know, farmers or people in all sorts of different regions really highlighting. And that was what first got my attention to this issue. So in 2006, I was then very fortunate to go and work at the Carbon Disclosure Project, which is now really the de facto reporting platform for companies and organisations all over the world who report on their carbon emissions, but much more broadly on their sustainability strategies. And it's been a real game changer in the industry. And I was fortunate to be on the leadership team there and launch lots of really exciting programs there. Before, in 2017, setting up Geeky with my husband, really to help people and individuals and citizens be part of building and finding and implementing the solutions to climate change and the broader environmental challenges that we face across the world.
Excellent. Lovely. Thank you for that. And I love the name, I have to say. It's a great name. It's a great name.
Well, it stands for Get Informed, Know Your Impact. It's
oh, really? Oh,
it actually does. That was how we came up with it.
Get Informed, Know Your Impact. Love it. I thought it was just, as with so many organisational names, just a slightly quirky spelling of something. And, you know, you're a bit geeky and, you know, you get into this topic. But I love it. Get Informed, Know Your Impact. Useful, very useful. Lovely. Okay, so why then Is it so important, what becoming so important for businesses to be thinking about net zero and thinking about issues of sustainability? Why is it something that boardrooms and executive teams should be concerning themselves with?
I think there are sort of three key kind of high level drivers. The first is regulation, which is increasing in many different parts of the world. So EU regulation around reporting has recently come in and will expand in coming years to reach broader number of companies. Equally in the UK, we have increasing regulation around reporting and measurement. And in the US, the securities, but the SEC was has also recently implemented a rule to require companies to report part of their carbon emissions. So definitely on the ascendancy, the regulatory side. So really for most large businesses, we're seeing regulatory pressures, which are a key driver. Equally, investor, customer and client pressure is growing. So, you know, from a end consumer perspective, more and more people want to see companies behaving more sustainably, but also more B2B companies as well, pressure on suppliers and expectation that suppliers are taking on more ambition around sustainability, and investor pressure as well. Investors expecting companies to prioritize this and manage effectively risk and opportunity around climate.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly read about some of the big name investment companies and venture capital investors. I'm thinking about people like BlackRock, particularly who insist we will only invest in organizations who can demonstrate this and demonstrate that. And I think from a workplace culture and employee engagement perspective, it is very interesting that we certainly have seen trends in recent years where the younger employees particularly, I mean, this has always been, I have to say, has always been important for everyone as employees to understand and recognize the purpose of the organization that they're working for. That is true, but it has become much more of a driver for the younger, initially millennials, Gen Y, but increasing the Gen Z coming up behind. They will make their choices not only about the products that they buy, as you've touched on, but also the organizations who they choose to work for. They need
absolutely
to do their values chime with mine.
You're so right.
So that's,
we really see that.
It's really, really important, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you're going, you know, if as an organization you recognize that a leadership at a high level that these things are important for sustainability and so on, and for ongoing and long-term business success, why do we need to take our people with them? Why is that so important? Do we not just get on and do it and announce a policy and make a policy change?
Yeah, and that announcing the policy and making the policy change sits at the heart of why you need to bring your people with you. So at Geeky, we have worked with about over 100 companies and helped about 150,000 people to take action around climate change and environmental issues. And frequently, for a company who has set a target, you know, net zero target or broader sustainability commitment, there's very often a moment when the rubber hits the road and the implementation phase begins of the policy, and then it becomes increasingly crucial that employees are engaged around both understanding, well, both knowing that the policy exists and then understanding why it's important and why it's relevant to them in their role. So, for example, if you look at most company carbon footprints, it is divided into three different areas: direct emissions, which are called scope one; indirect emissions, which is called scope two, which is typically electricity. That if you're an office-based business, for example, that would be when you are purchasing electricity for your offices. And then the third area, scope three, which is typically about 80% of total emissions. And that would be everything from your supply chain to waste to business travel, commuting, home working. All of those components feed into that part of your carbon footprint. And in order to manage that, you need to engage your employees, because of course it's your employees who make the commuting decisions or the business travel decisions or the procurement decisions or the the waste, how we manage our waste in the company. And I think that is where it's becoming increasingly important to engage employees. And we work with a really broad range of companies, from very small right through to big global companies like Accenture and Deloitte and NatWest. And I think that awareness that we really need our employees to be more educated, more aware around, and build knowledge around sustainability, so that then they can take action, in a multitude of different ways around it. I think that's a really important part of the engagement piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's interesting. I mean, I certainly recognise what you're describing there, and I suppose, yeah, it's easy to think about net zero as this big story of emissions, whether they're be indirect or direct. But I'm staggered that you say that the third stage is 80% is all these other things that you talk about. And it is interesting. I mean, as a business owner myself, over the years, when you're tendering for work, when you're going through procurement processes, increasingly you need to be able to point to what you are doing and how you are doing it and how you are measuring it and the impact that you are having. And that's an awful lot of, 80% made up of potentially an awful lot of individual employees' personal choices and personal actions within the course of them delivering their day job.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's right. And that point about tenders is really interesting in the UK, where if you're now tendering for most public sector work, there's the social value component, which has a fighting climate change piece to it. And so quite a lot of the companies that we work with who are working with the public sector, they're actually required now as part of that tender process to demonstrate how they are supporting those social value pieces. So it is becoming increasingly important in terms of contract delivery as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So clearly we need to engage our employees with this, as we need to engage them with any kind of organizational strategy or transformation or change program or whatever. We know employee engagement is absolutely crucial to success and any of this stuff landing, but particularly around your area of expertise and particularly around this important topic. What sorts of things have you found? What are the kind of approaches that work best when it comes to engaging an organization's people with the topics of sustainability?
So we find that the best way to engage people is for a defined period of time, which might happen every quarter or every twice a year, but for a challenge whereby employees come together and there's a sense of team camaraderie, but also crucially competition. So we run within the company's challenges around all sorts of different sustainability themes. So it could be what we eat, it could be how we can preserve water, it could be nature related, and also very importantly around aspects of work behavior like business travel or commuting, so that then people are beginning to look at the decisions that they make on a regular basis with a sustainability lens, and really understanding through fun and competition and driving conversations and sharing the changes that they can make in terms of day-to-day decision making, but also really understanding why this matters. Because I think for many people, we see the headlines, they're often, quite doom and gloom around climate change, but enabling people to understand that we all have agency and we can all take action and we can all contribute in the workplace in terms of helping support company sustainability goals is, I think, really empowering for people. And particularly when it's fun and there's some competitions and, teams get very competitive around this, how many climate actions can we take together? And then we have a closing ceremony at the end of each challenge, and people love it. And I think it's a really good way to bring in people who don't necessarily think about sustainability
And does that
every
is
day.
there is there a kind of optimum time frame for something? So the reason I'm just reframe my question a little bit. Often with things like gaming online, gaming and apps and things, there's this thing about habit. There's the thing about a daily habit. You build a daily habit and then it becomes something you just do. And we know that game developers very much play to that, and the whole issues around gamification play to that. In your experience, is there a kind of optimum time frame for these sorts of events and challenges that get that mental focus, get that awareness, and then that has an effect beyond the period of the actual event?
So we approach it in two different ways. Sometimes we would do a short-term project. So for example, we did one at the end of last year with the UN-backed Race to Zero to bring lots of different, which is a big global campaign to get help companies and different organizations reach net zero as quickly as they can. And there we brought lots of different companies together and they all competed together for a period of 3 weeks. And each week we looked at a different theme. And that was a fantastic way to really galvanize understanding and long enough within that defined period to start really changing those habits. And what we found was a lot of the companies involved really changed quite significantly in terms of their commitments and actions around sustainability. And then, so that's one approach that we find is really effective to do, a short project, but make sure it really embeds throughout that period. And then the other way that is very effective is to do just a week-long challenge, but do one regularly. So, every 3 to 6
So there's
months.
a momentum and a regularity about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm
Because I think
fascinated
people
by
are.
your Race to Zero thing. I mean, that was huge, wasn't it? In terms of the numbers of employees. And did that involve competition between the participating companies?
Exactly, that's right. So we
Right.
had leaderboards for all the different companies, and we'd bring everybody together once a week for live sessions around the theme, but lots of sharing and inspiration. And it was definitely a combination of, and we had WhatsApp groups where people could share more, etc. So the companies each put forward a team, and then those teams competed with each other. But also, we found within a company team, some of them decided to drive into, competition between individuals, and there was definitely a kind of team spirit of, we've got to get to the top of the leaderboard, we can do
Right.
more. It was really,
Yeah.
it was wonderful to see because you really, I think people, it was so positive, and I think sometimes sustainability can seem quite, overwhelming for people, but actually this, the outcome in terms of sentiment and mindset change and engagement was really positive, which I think with sustainability can sometimes be quite difficult.
Yeah. I wonder what experience you've had of using champions within organizations. So the reason I'm asking this is we're just Engage with Success is just about to publish its latest employee engagement in the UK survey sort of that it undertook last year. And one of the things, as well as identifying the sort of levels of engagement across UK workforce, what the survey also looks to do is what are the things that organizations have done differently that have been able to demonstrate higher levels of engagement? And one of the things that we do see is that organizations who use champions to help focus on engagement have a more engaged workforce. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, if I appoint a champion, I'm going to raise, it's all got to be part of a broader strategic approach to these things, of course. But I wonder whether that's something you find within this particular topic area can work.
Yeah, it's massively important,
Is
actually.
it?
It's, yeah, so we really need each company that we work with to have at least one, but typically many green champions, and we actually provide a lot of support for them through best practice sharing. So we do monthly calls where we'd get a guest speaker to come and talk about how they're implementing sustainability within their business, and I think it's crucial, and I think that broader support is really important because sometimes it can be a bit lonely. I think people, and I'd be re I don't know if this is the case in other areas of employee engagement, but certainly within sustainability, you can sometimes feel a bit of a lone voice in a big company, and actually coming together with people from other companies who often have similar experiences and understanding what they're going through and what worked and you know how they overcome blockers is really important. And it also, if you can create a team of green champions within a business, it enables them to come together and you know permeate different parts of the organization, because we're always more likely to listen to our peers or people we know and respect in the workplace. So the more champions who are up for it, the better. But then it is also how, you know, how do you support them? Mm. How do you give them what they need? And they're always doing it side of desk, or nearly always. So of it's course. How do you exactly. help them do it in the time that they have?
Alongside the day job, and everyone's very pressed. Yeah. So you touched on, used the word blockers just then when you were talking about it. And I think that I'd like to move on to look a little bit at that. I mean, what are the barriers that you help organizations overcome, or what are the barriers that you see organizations struggling with that you can perhaps give some pointers to?
I'd say the biggest ones are time. So mm-hmm. time, which is closely linked to prioritization. You know, often sustainability is really important, but it's sometimes hard for it to get it ahead of the things that are really urgent.
To get its share of voice, yeah, and exactly. share of energy. Yeah,
exactly right. So that is definitely one of the big challenges. And the other one, I think, is moving beyond those who are already actively interested in sustainability and doing a lot anyway, and you know, for whom it's kind of front of mind regularly mm-hmm. anyway. And in terms of how we address that, I think the time barrier is probably one of the biggest challenges that people have. And we just create everything that everybody needs in terms of climate comms, content, plan, everything, so that the only thing that they then need to do is actually share it internally and use the materials and expertise that we've provided to go and mobilize internally, which obviously we can't do because we're not employees at the company. So I think the easier it is for people when they've got a busy day job, the better. And definitely that side's really important. And then in terms of the reaching beyond the broader, you know, the reaching into a broader audience, we do find that the competition and the challenge side is really effective for that, because you get that conversation going internally, you know, the kind of stereotypical water cooler chat of, oh, look, have you seen who's on the leaderboard and have they taken so many steps, and oh, that team's doing really well. And that helps build the momentum and get people talking, so that it then becomes more known across the company. And often the senior leaders actually can get really behind it and, you know, cheerlead for their team. And that works amazingly, as you know, as always, when you can get senior leaders involved, it helps move it up the agenda and reach a broader group.
Of course. Okay. So I guess there's two, if we think about our kind of an audience of people, and employees are going to be no different to Joe Public out on the street, you're going to have at one extreme, you're going to have people who really get this stuff, really motivated about it, know why it matters and are doing everything they possibly can. Then you've got gradations, and you'll have some people towards the other end of the spectrum. The far end of the spectrum, you're going to have the absolute naysayers. And then somewhere in the middle, you're going to have people who are like, well, I get this and I am worried about it and I do understand, but what I do is not going to change the world. So why bother? Look at what's happening over there. Look at what's happening there. What effect can what I do really have? And so there's a real hearts and minds thing to be done, as well as energy and time, isn't there? So how do you help address some of those, or do you say there are certain things there are some messages you just can't address because you can only do so much?
No, that's a really, really good question. So we split the audiences, the employee audiences, out into sort of four key groupings. The super greens, who, as described, uh-huh. you know, would be doing a lot of this stuff anyway. The busy but awares, which is definitely a growing cohort. So people who as exactly as you say, you know, are concerned, interested, but you know, maybe haven't got beyond that, don't really know what to do. There are then the pragmatists who will take action if, you know, if it's required. So it might be a regulatory requirement, it might be price, it might be convenience. And then those are groups that we all communicate. And then the final group we call solution skeptics, because they, you know, exactly as you said, can't be solved. Look at what's going on over there. Look at what's going on over there. So, so we feel that you know, they probably need to move along a bit further before we can help them.
Bring them into the fold. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think in terms of the busy but awares and the pragmatists, it's in terms of how we can communicate with them. It really is all about positivity, empowerment, showing people what they can do, but never ever telling them what they should do, and showing that actually we all frequently have the sentiment, in, you know, varying different shapes and forms, that someone else should be doing more. You know, policy should be doing more, businesses should be doing more. What can I do? But helping people understand that actually we all need to do more, and everything that we do in terms of our own actions, both at work and also in our own personal lives, but also in terms of the influence and the conversations that we have, they can all make a difference. And I think there's often people can feel disempowered because they don't have the knowledge or they don't have the confidence to be able to talk about these issues. And we help them with that, so that then, you know, and that can create a ripple effect, that people feel more confident, talk about it more, and then that becomes more embedded.
Yeah. Picking up on the good old Tesco strapline of every little helps, you know. That's what it's about, really, isn't it? So, okay, we've just got a couple of minutes left, Joe. So I wonder if we can bring it back to the business audience, the leadership, the executive, the board. Apart from the points you touched on at the beginning about, you know, the increasing imperatives for this around regulation, purchasing, supply chain, customers, and so on, what value, real value, will organisations get from engaging their employees with initiatives, sustainability initiatives like these?
Sure. So some less tangible, which I'll start with, and I'll start going to the more tangible ones, are, I think it's really important to bridge the gap between sustainability strategy or commitments and employee action. And I think that there is frequently a very big gap there, that a company might have a policy, but employees don't know about it, they don't know how it affects them, how it's relevant to them. So I think that's a really important part of it, and that's all about raising awareness and knowledge. But in the longer term, actually achieving culture change and mindset change, you know, enabling people to think when they're buying goods and services through that sustainability lens, which there's a long way to go on that particular point. Many of the companies we work with actually appreciate that ability to bring teams together. So that's more of the sort of culture benefits, that actually you create this camaraderie and this conversations and connecting different teams that don't necessarily know or work together. I think that can be really important. But more, you know, the more kind of tangible piece is the ROI, and actually a lot of the actions that are more sustainable actions that employees can take at work. So, for example, by reducing waste is a really good one. Energy efficiency measures, saving on energy costs, you know, reducing air travel. Great for many companies where business travel can actually be quite a large part of their carbon footprint, or quite a significant part. Helping employees think about alternatives there. So the ROI can be really quite significant. You know, we're seeing sort of 2, 3, 4-fold ROI on short-term projects. So there's a combination, I think, of culture, culture awareness, knowledge building, upskilling benefits, and, you know, growing employee confidence around these issues, which are not going to go away, but also then, you know, the financial benefits as well.
Lovely. Thank you. Perfect close, perfect timing. So thank you very much to today's special guest, Jo Hand, co-founder of Geeky. Thank you very much for listening to Engage with Success Radio. Don't forget, you can download or stream any of the great shows from our archive at any time. Just visit engagewithsuccess.org. So thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.